You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
No more announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Revelation 6, 9 through 13. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, right. Well, Seppi's flying away towards Houston, Texas, as we meet here this morning. So she's coming in from New Zealand. And I talked to her just before she got on the flight, and she said she had a very, very full few days in New Zealand, meeting lots and lots of people, and she was so excited about all the news to bring to us, and so I'm quite excited to talk to her. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this day that we can meet together and have such a warm venue and fellowship. And we thank thee for this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, up here, once I get this thing to work, that is. This came into the cell phone just before she got on the flight. So this is my brother, Lindsay. He's the youngest. So in our family, we had one girl and three boys. And so this is the youngest, Lindsay, and then there's Malcolm, and then there's me. And so he's now helping out in the church, and this is my dad. He's there preaching. He was giving the service when Seppi was there, and these are some of the people eating lunch afterwards. Okay, well, last time we looked at this whole business of the six seals, and we were really looking at the whole idea of parallels, and these parallels come up over and over again between books in the Old Testament. And when I say Old Testament, I include the Gospels. You see? When I say the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And you find, of course, that in the book of Revelation and in chapter 6, you get this mention of the martyrs. And these are witnesses. And these are witnesses that are prepared to die for the truth. And I mentioned how that through the years we've seen examples, great examples, especially detailed in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, people who would give their lives for the truth of the gospel. Well, it's going to happen again in a massive way on the earth. Now, remember, the time of this tribulation that's coming on the earth has never been a time like it, nor will there be afterwards. So all of those terrible events that have already come on this earth, and man, they are awful. You think of the awfulness. I mean, everybody talks about the Nazis. Well, that's right. That was terrible. But you know, that was even peanuts compared to what the communists did. Millions and millions and millions of people just exterminated. It's unbelievable what's happened in recent history. It's just not so long ago. Hey, have you noticed something? Am I going crazy or something? Or is this Hillary wearing communist clothing? Am I crazy in saying that? I mean, every time I've seen her giving a debate, she's got, if you compare the clothing, the silk dresses she's wearing, these are cut and the colors are the same as what the communists were wearing. If you look at it, it's the same. Maybe I'm going crazy, but it just seems to me that it's just the same sort of stuff. You know, how anybody would want to be aligned with these socialists and these communists, I have no idea. You know, it's just incredible. Anyway, martyrdom is certainly coming on the earth again. And we looked at Zechariah. And we saw in here some fantastic things which parallel the horses that are coming, and specifically the kind of false messiahs that will come onto this earth in the future. Now, make sure you understand me, right? See, I'm a person who believes in the Bible rightly divided. I totally believe that. And I don't believe you can just go into the book of Revelation and grab passages out of there and then just stick them to people today and think that that works today. No, that's not right. Even the plan of salvation is quite different as is presented in the book of Revelation. You know, those overcomers, they take part in the tree of life. Well, that's not how salvation comes to us today. So I believe in right division of the scriptures, and more of that, of course, you can see on the rightdivision.com and in our sermons. But here's the mention of the branch, and what's interesting is, and speak on him saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yeah, the temple is going to be rebuilt by the branch, and we know who the branch is. The branch is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll do it. And that is a tremendous truth that comes up here. And this great structural correspondence that comes up, you can see how that the four horses and the four angels, the martyrs and the 144,000, the signs in heaven and the seven trumpets and vials, how they line up beautifully in this structural correspondence. And again, the parallels going here, Matthew 24 and Revelation 6. We're going to see this again today. I want to mention again these parallels. But notice that what you get is right sort of going through the middle of this is this, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. What is the value of these parallels? These parallels between Matthew and Revelation, Zechariah and Revelation. What's the use of it? Well, the use of it is these timing statements. All these, referring to what went previously, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Oh, wait a minute. It's the false Christ, the wars, the famines, the pestilences. That's what goes with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Those constitute the beginnings. You see? What's the value of the parallel? Just that. It gives us instant timing and allows us to put things in the correct order. And that's what's lacking in most expositions of the book of Revelation, and it's lacking in mine. All right, it's lacking in mine too. I've got to get that straightened out. Okay, so today I want to do something different than just parallels. Last time we looked at parallels, and today what we're going to do is look at structure. Structure. Both of these are important in the Bible, and we'll look at them. First of all, a little word about structure. There's different types of structure you can see in the Bible. Here's one which is really pertinent to our calling, because this quote was given for the last time right at the end of the book of Acts, in Acts 28. And just to remind ourselves how neat that is, let's just go there in Acts 28. And I want to point out something that Chris reminded me of, which I think is really important. In Acts 28 and verse 26, it says this, saying, well, just prior to that in verse 25, it says, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. They departed as in a divorce. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people, right to the end of the book of Acts, Paul is dealing with this people. People who try to say, oh no, you know, it really doesn't matter. We need to just go into the book of Acts. There's so much in the book of Acts which is written about us. Man, we need to go into the book of Acts, and we need to rediscover all the truths in the book of Acts, and we need to extrapolate and bring that
and extract those things and put them to people's lives today. Well, how come when you get right to the very last chapter, Paul is still dealing with Israel? How come? How come it's still this people? Now, of course, the context of this people is judgment coming.
Look what he says. He says, lest they should see, this is verse 27, with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. They will hear it. Oh, okay. So the salvation of God was not heard by the nation of Israel.
So after we go through all of the different places around Asia to all these synagogues, and we find these branches now are being snapped off, by the time we get to the end of the book of Acts, now you find the tree has been chopped and branches all around the place, and then there is a statement, the salvation of God is sent. So the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. Here we are, man. This is a great truth, isn't it? Gentiles, man. Back before then, it was all about Israel first. Yeah, Gentiles got in. Yeah, they got in to provoke Israel. Yeah, they got in because God in His graciousness wanted to use the Gentiles and certainly was interested in saving them, but he was also mainly interested in using them to provoke his people, the nation of Israel. But now, when we get to the end of the book of Acts, salvation of God sent
to the Gentiles. Very good. And it says this, and it says in verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. What's the last phrase? And Chris pointed this out to me, and he says this is a big deal. And he's right. No man forbidding him. No man forbidding him.
While there was huge opposition, right, all the way through here, there was massive opposition to Paul. Massive! Now it says, no man forbidding him. Why? Because God took Paul to be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He was the prisoner of Jesus. He was the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He wasn't simply the prisoner of the Romans. He was now the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He had a special ministry, and no man would forbid because God had his hand on this.
Notice here the structure, and I'm just pointing this out.
Notice heart down here. Heart. Make the heart of this people, and then it corresponds with and understand with their heart. And then part B here. And make their ears heavy. That corresponds with and hear with their ears. And in the middle, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes. Man, there is a literary structure that's built into the Bible.
It's there. It's not made up. It's a reality. It's part of what the Bible is. So structure takes all sorts of forms. There's literary structures, and there's ideas which have to do with doctrine, which fit in a beautiful form. Now, when you come to Revelation, let's go to the book of Revelation, and let's have a look at Revelation 6. Now, I had some fun with the artwork here. Revelation chapter 6. And verse 2, it says, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, the word horse is this word, hippus, hippus. And this word appears in English
in the form of hippopotamus. What is a hippopotamus? Well, hippus is horse, potamos is a river, so it's a river horse. That's what a hippopotamus is. It's a river horse. Completely, totally Greek. That's what it is. Okay, so we have this horse, okay, and it's white. Now, what's interesting about this is that this white horse rider, while he's on a white horse, he's not the same rider as the rider that appears in Revelation 19. So what we have here is a parody going on. The Antichrist is certainly involved with these conquerors going out. And this guy is certainly a conqueror. But you'll notice something about him. Just look at this. And it's very interesting to see. And he went forth conquering. Yeah, okay, we can understand that. And you might say, but that's also what Christ would do. Yeah, but it says, and to conquer. So when you look at this, and in order that he would conquer. This is the one who is involved with fighting and bringing people under his control. He is the Antichrist. Here's the other one in Revelation 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Yeah, this is the one in righteousness he makes war. This is the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to the earth and doing this. Now, do you remember that the one here in Revelation 6:2, if you just look at this, it says, and he that sat on him had a bow. He that sat on him had a bow. Okay, this is the nature of this conqueror that's going out, this false Messiah moving through here on this white horse. And when you think of a rider of a horse, a rider is in control of the horse, or should be. Now, I like horses, they hate me. And, you know, one of these days, I am going to get on a horse and it's going to do what I tell it to do. Poor thing. But, yeah, good luck. Especially if you go to one of these ranches and they specialize in, you know, horses that are for riders, and they are about as hard-mouthed as you can get. You know, they will not move at all. And all they'll do is stick to what they want to do. And you get on it and you follow them. They're the boss. But I remember as a kid getting on this horse. And, you know, because I was inexperienced and sort of a bit touchy about sort of hurting the horse, which you can't be with a horse. You got to let the horse know who's boss, you know. I didn't know that. Well, what he did was he came up against this fence and he started to scratch the parasite off, you know. That's me, you know. So I got scratched off. That was one bad example. And experience. And then I had another one, which was with a little foal. I thought, what a nice little creature. Nice little foal. Oh, lovely little thing. You know, nice soft nose. Oh, lovely. And a person came to talk to me while I was stroking this nice soft nose. Oh. And I was talking, and all of a sudden, the nose wasn't there. And wham! The thing took a bite. Excuse me. The thing took a bite on my bicep here, man. I thought he ripped the whole muscle out. Oh, man, if I had a club, that little blighter would have got it. Oh, man. Anyway, but these riders, believe me, they know how to ride. And they're in control of these horses, man. And this one has a bow. Now, have a look at this with me. Go back to Hosea, because Hosea is all about this end time business. When the Jews are going to be restored. So and Hosea chapter number 1 and verse 7, let's read that. It says this, and this is really an incredible part. It says, but I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow. Will not save them by bow. Right? Nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. What an interesting passage here in the context of what we find with this white horse rider. This white horse rider is decked out with a bow, man, and he's going out to conquer. That's his role. There are other passages we can look at. I want you to have a look at another one with me. This is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 45. Okay, Psalm 45. And verse 4 says this, "And in thy majesties ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart," where? "Of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee." Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Yeah, the bow, he's got arrows. And that's in the enemies. Now, God will use enemies. Remember, we saw that in Zechariah, this overreach that occurred. And then those enemies get whacked hard because of their overreach. Well, there's other psalms we can look at. But you can see the principle is coming up. And it would certainly be against the idea that this white horseman here is Jesus, but rather is a false Messiah. Okay, let's go on. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. I want to just see the structure of these horses, because it is interesting. Okay, so if you go to Revelation 6, again, Revelation 6 and verse 4, it says, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." Okay. Notice it says, "Take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another." Take peace and kill. Wow, this is some horseman coming through. And if you read Ezekiel 14:21, you'll see parallels to show you that this cannot be the Messiah. Revelation 6:5, look at this one. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast." Oh, right, the third beast. Notice in relationship to this revelation about the horsemen, the beasts are involved. These living creatures are involved. "I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand." And again, you can go to Ezekiel and you can see that these balances are all involved with carefully measuring food in the context when there's a shortage of food, which makes sense, right? When there's a shortage of food, you've got to be careful about measuring the food out. Not like right now, you know, where there's plenty of food around America, plenty of it everywhere. And, you know, the main problem is sort of, not, you know, you got to stop eating. That's the main problem. And what's going to happen here is you've got this massive problem with a lack of food that's coming on the earth. And they have this pair of balances to remind you of that. In Revelation 6:8, and it says, And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And what I want to draw your attention to is this idea of pale. See, there's the word hippos, that's the horse, and this is the word for pale, chloros. This word is used in conjunction with grass, green grass. The actual color of this horse is a light green. It's a light green, like a tender shoot that's come forward. Yeah, chloros. So you have here, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." Oh man, what's going to go on here? The beasts of the earth are going to be used by this false Messiah to do damage. There's going to be massive damage. Notice it says, His name that sat on him was death, and hell followed. That's always the case. When death comes, hell follows. When someone dies, what happens is they're covered. They go to gravedom. They go to Sheol. Hell will follow. That's right. There's going to be a lot of death going on. And it says, fourth part of the earth. The fourth part of the earth. Now, it doesn't say the fourth part of the earth for each one of these. I thought, well, wait a minute. There's four horsemen. Maybe it's four times a quarter that makes the whole earth. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. And then it says, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Pale, pale. Well, this light green color may, in fact, be representing the fact of death in flesh. What happens to flesh? Well, unfortunately, it begins to go green. It goes gangrenous. It goes colors like this. As bacteria get into it. Now, what I'm trying to point out here, this took me a while to put this thing together. When you look at the four horsemen, and of course there are seals associated with this, first of all, you have the conquering and to conquer with the white. The red takes peace. The black, there's the balances, okay, famine, no food. And then the green, finally, death. And you notice there's just this whole conglomeration with the last one. There's just death and hell following, right? That's what it is, death. And through here, you find this beast say, come and see. Here is the imperative, come and blepper, come and see. The beast says this. The beasts are involved with saying, come and see this. But when you jump over to verse 9, have a look at this in Revelation 6, 9. And when he had opened, who's the he? That's the Lord. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Here are the martyrs, the martus. Okay. No beast here. So, one thing we get is the beasts are involved with bringing to the attention of the reader these four horsemen. But, when you jump to verse 9, there's no beast. And furthermore, you get this mention of the martyrs, right? The martyrs appear. Verse 9. Do you notice that many times numbers, the verse numbers, help you a lot in remembering things? I mean, I just remember this. Look at this.
I remember this. 1 Corinthians 1:21. 1 Corinthians 14:21. You know, it's just a great help to remember verses, especially when the verse numbers or the chapter numbers line up. And it's just incredible to me that if you look at this, the verse numbers line up to help you remember this. The color, okay? Let's first of all deal with the color, and I've put in here basically what I think would be about the right shade here of green, right? Probably a little bit lighter than chloros, okay? Mark 6, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the chloros grass, you see? The green grass. The green grass. That's the pale horse. And it's also mentioned here as well, green grass. I'm reminding you about the verse number here now. I'm talking about the structure. There is, see here, we've got all these are the beginnings of sorrow, and then bang, verse 9, you get the new beginning here. Which is interesting. It's a help, isn't it? It's a help to your memory and study of the scriptures. What are we to say about this? Am I saying that the verse numbers are inspired? No, I'm not. I don't think I can prove that. But it is a help to acknowledge it, right? It's a help to your memory to acknowledge that happened here. And just for your interest, the chapters were basically entered our English Bible through the work of this Stephen Langton,
And he was born about 1150 and went to 1228. He was the Archbishop of Canterbury. And then over here is someone who was a Catholic and then in his latter years became a Protestant. And his name is Robert Estienne in French, and he's known as Robertus Stephanus in Latin. And he was responsible for putting in the verses, chapters, verses. Catholic, Protestant. So you've got both groups in there, chapters and verses. So under the altar, you get these souls. There is the picture of these lives, okay? And they're crying out for vengeance. Now, sometimes, don't you just feel like, man, it's time that, you know, we see some righteous judgment coming. Now, here's the truth about our age, the age in which we live. It is grace upon grace upon grace. That's the nature of our age. And to demand righteous judgment in this age is tantamount to asking for the end of this age, right? Really, it is. It's tantamount to doing that. So what God's going to do here is, okay, there's going to come a time when God is going to have his day, the day of the Lord. We, in many ways, want that now. We see all this stuff happening. We want it now. Yeah, but wait a minute. There's a lot of other stuff going on. A lot of innocent people get whacked too, you know, along the way towards this. So here we have this event that has seen in heaven under the altar these lives of people crying out for vengeance. Have a look at this in Revelation 6, 9. It says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, oh, the fifth seal. Again, numbers come up. The fifth seal. So the fifth seal, that's an interesting thing because five is associated with death. Through grace and death come together. And if you look at this whole study of words like the letters in Greek and the letters in Hebrew and how that there's a number associated with each letter of Greek and each letter of Hebrew, that study is called gematria. Okay, if you look at gematria, and you look at, for example, the word for Jesus, Jesus, it turns out to be, for Jesus in Greek, it turns out to be this. Which is quite an amazing thing to me, right? Because the number 8 is associated with a new beginning. Resurrection is associated with 8. New beginning. He is the resurrection and the life. And you've got here the 888, the 888. God is a Trinity, right? That's his nature. And Jesus is 888. Now, the interesting thing is that there is the number of his name mentioned in the book of Revelation. And this is related to the beast, the Antichrist. And the number of his name is 666. Well, that's interesting because 6 is associated with man. And here we have the absolute rebellion coming in to the world as some kind of incarnation of man rebelling against God's will. Jesus, the perfect new beginning. So it's interesting to study these things and investigate them in the scriptures. So altar comes up in Revelation in these places. In Revelation 14:18, and another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. Yeah, there's coming a time when the wine press will be full and God is going to have his way. I want you to see this now with me. What idea, what structural idea am I bringing to you now? Well, God's vengeance. He is Gaal.
He is Goal. He is the kinsman redeemer. He is the one who is the closest. All right?
By one. Right? He is the Goal. Okay? So he is the redeemer. And he is also the avenger. Okay? So he's going to show his vengeance.
Just have a look at this passage in Psalm 50. And let's see, verse 21. It says this: "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was together, altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set thee in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver." Right? Read it again. Look at verse 20. "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver." All right. God is going to have his way during the book of Revelation when it comes to its fruition on this earth. Yeah. "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." And he will, man. He will. He will do it, and it's going to be ghastly, man. See, I believe in annihilationism. I do. I've come to that belief through the scriptures. I believe that the ultimate end is that people who go against God will have a resurrection, and then they will be destroyed. But on the way to destruction, my friends, it will be ghastly. Ghastly. And we'll see that happen in the book of Revelation as we go through. There's more passages here. I'll stop here, though, and we'll look at some of these next time. But I hope that this has been of some instruction to you and help in understanding these four horsemen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time and for all the truths that are in thy word. We pray that you'd help us always in understanding this book of books, the truths that are in there. We thank thee, our Father, that we can attend a fellowship where the Bible is opened and studied and looked at honestly. We think, Lord, of the nation now, how we desperately need people who are in touch with thy oracles of life, who would look and read and bring forward these truths and live by them. We pray for good leaders, Lord. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.